Those of you who somehow have managed to attend every single one of these evening services so far will already know that we are concentrating on the teaching of the Apostle Peter as he talks about it and writes about it in 1 Peter, his first epistle. And we've already started by looking at some verses in chapter 2, and then we eventually moved into chapter 3. And it may sound rather strange to some of you, but we're now going back to chapter 1. And I'm going to read the relevant verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, and verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. Our theme for tonight is Christ, our liberating Redeemer. And certainly in the text that we have chosen to focus on tonight, it's very much to the fore that the Lord Jesus is quite rightly described as our Redeemer. Fred Mitchell was a chemist who spent most of his working life in Bradford, and yet his influence extended far beyond the confines of that provincial Yorkshire town. In 1951, returning from the Far East, tragically he was killed in a plane crash. But before that, he had managed to establish himself as a much-loved speaker at the famous Keswick Convention. And he had also operated as the home director of what in those days used to be called the China Inland Mission. But more than that, he was a godly man who wanted people to know how much the redeeming Christ had done for him and could also do for them. And so whenever he came across people, he would talk to them in a very personal way. And always there came into the conversation this idea of Christ being the Redeemer. It was a Bible word that he absolutely loved. He used to think of how the children of Israel had been brought out of Egypt, and whole families were brought under the power of the blood of the Lamb. And it rejoiced his heart to know that not only him, but his whole family was sheltered by the redeeming blood of Christ. In fact, he loved the word so much that he employed a carpenter to engrave the word on a large piece of wood and then polish it up. And it used to take pride of place in his house. And he also had one done for his chemist's shop. and it was strategically placed in the shop above the clock. Nobody could fail to notice it. And many a person would say to him, "Has that clock been redeemed from the pawnbrokers?" And that gave him the ideal opportunity to speak about the real meaning of this great word, redeemed. I wonder what that word means to you and me on a Monday, Thursday evening. In the New Testament, it is one of the key words in describing the death of the Lord Jesus. And the number of times that the word redeemed or redemption or sometimes translated ransom, the number of times that turns up in the pages of the New Testament is a strong suggestion that from the very earliest days of Christianity, then people loved this word. They liked to think about what their faith meant to them in terms of redemption. Peter obviously loved the word. He uses it in his first epistle. Of course, the Apostle Paul got to him first. Time and again in the writings of Paul, he speaks about redemption. And as we come to our study tonight about Christ being our liberating Redeemer, once again we want to try and pick up through Peter's eyes what the death of Jesus must mean to those who know themselves to be redeemed. I've read to you verses 18 and 19, but of course that's not the only reference in this chapter to the blood of Christ. It's mentioned very briefly in the introduction in the second verse of that first chapter. And it seems to me that Peter is emphasizing that by the sacrificial outpouring of Christ's life blood, we have been ransomed. We have been redeemed from the power of sin and Satan. At infinite cost to himself, he has bought us back and brought us back from the slavery of sin. And Peter says, as he writes to these Christians in the first place, he has rescued you from the bondage of a wasted life. If you were not a Christian tonight, have you ever given any thought to where your life might have ended up and what direction you might have gone in life? Is there a feeling that but for the redeeming work of Christ, my life would have been wasted? Peter writes to these people and he says, you've been saved from all that. So our theme tonight is redemption. And tomorrow evening, I want to try and say something a bit more deeply about the importance of the Christian concept of the blood of Christ. Although that's mentioned here, I want to tease it out a bit more tomorrow evening. For tonight, let's just be content with asking of Peter and his use of this concept of redemption, asking of him just three simple questions. Question number one, what are we redeemed from? What are we redeemed from? Now, keep in mind the kind of situation that Peter was writing to a way back then. It was the days of the Roman Empire, and the whole of the Roman Empire was enslaved. Slavery was the order of the day. Slavery was a universal institution in the Roman Empire. They say that the city of Corinth in Greece boasted 500,000 slaves. And throughout the whole of the Roman Empire, there were reckoned to be about 60 million slaves. Now, I don't know what comes into your mind or mine when we think of a slave. But you've got to remember that so-called professionals could be slaves. Doctors, engineers, teachers, bankers, priests, lawyers, many of these people were in the slave category. And Peter knows his audience to whom he writes. And he knows that to talk about redemption to a people whose whole society is enmeshed in slavery was instantly understandable. Most of the Christians to whom Peter writes would have been slaves. And even those who were not in literal bondage, there were still widespread fear of malevolent cosmic powers. Superstition was rife. And Peter writes to them and he says, you have been redeemed. You've been redeemed from all that. So this is a shout of victory. It's a declaration of freedom. I understand that in the Greek version of the Old Testament, when the story of the Exodus is being described, then the exact same word that Peter uses here is used in the book of Exodus. It's all about emancipation. Think of prisoners of war being set free from a camp. Think of hostages suddenly gaining their freedom. Essentially, it's a commercial metaphor. It's a business term. It talks about a great transaction. And for these Christians, Peter's meaning would have been crystal clear. You have been redeemed from death and sin and eventually from hell itself. And in the meantime, you've been saved from a wasted life. Isn't that something to be thankful for when we eventually come to take the bread and drink the wine tonight? Great thankfulness that your life has not been wasted. There used to be a Presbyterian minister in the city of Philadelphia in the United States, 10th Presbyterian, a chap by the name of James Montgomery Boyce. And he says, you've got to imagine Jesus, the Redeemer, going into the marketplace and seeing a whole line of slaves and buying them one by one at tremendous cost to himself. But there's a second question. What are we redeemed by? And to that there can be one, but one answer. We are redeemed by Christ shedding his precious blood on the cross. It's that that makes him our Redeemer. When I was a boy, my minister, it seemed to me anyway, always finished his public prayers with the same phraseology. And this we ask for the sake of Christ, our Redeemer. As a wee boy, the phrase caught my fancy. Our Redeemer. The words had an attraction for me then, and they still do. There's something very reverent in the title, to recognize Christ as our Redeemer. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. Now, the Apostle Peter may have started out as a coarse, rough, and ready fisherman, but he shows great ingenuity when he pens these words, because he manages to combine together the language of slavery, redemption, and the language of sacrifice. We are redeemed by Christ shedding his precious blood. So God help you if you reject the cross, because there was shed the last blood that ever will be shed for a sinful world. Forgiving blood, cleansing blood, uniting blood, consecrating blood, possessing blood. When we affirm that we have been redeemed by precious blood, we are signifying not only God's acceptance of us because of Christ, we're also signifying God's claim upon us. And I think that's why Peter started the chapter with just the little phrase, we've been sprinkled by his blood. The mark of the blood of Christ is upon all his people. And Peter thirdly says what we're redeemed for. The word redeemed actually means to purchase and then to set free by paying a price. And it has the added implication, set free never to become in bondage again to whatever has enslaved you. Redemption's not the same thing as exemption. We've not been set free so that we can go on our own merry way. We've been redeemed for a purpose. Because redemption involves a change of ownership. Imagine that you were one of those slaves standing in the marketplace. You belonged to one boss, maybe a tyrant, maybe somebody that you longed to get free from. And along comes another who at great cost buys you, sets you free. What would you do with that master? What would you do with that redeemer? Would you not say to him, you may have set me free, but I'm now yours forever? That's the transaction that ought to take place in our lives. We're not like wicked old King Ahab. You remember in the book of Kings, he sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. As Christians, that's not the route we want to take. We have been redeemed for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. It's not only sacrificial blood, it's sprinkled blood. What's the significance of sprinkling? Surely it symbolizes that although the shedding of the blood takes place only once, the lasting effect is meant to go on and on until we see him face to face. And the only way that can happen is when we allow the blood of Christ to touch us at the deepest levels of our personalities. John Calvin put it like this: the blood of Christ which has been shed will avail you precisely nothing unless your conscience is cleansed by it. It's the conscience that needs to be touched. I often think in Holy Week of Judas with his 30 jangling silver coins. And on the other side, the precious blood of Christ. I often think how differently men value things. He who is priceless is sold for a song. And we who are worthless are freely redeemed by a king of kings' ransom. We're aghast at the price that is set on him by his detractors. And we're silenced and humbled by the infinite value that he chose to set upon us. A simple message tonight. a shorter message than the last few evenings, deliberately. Because everything that we've been trying to say, and Peter's been trying to say, is symbolized here in the bread and wine. And in the same way that people, even today, find it necessary to go to the pawnbrokers or to cash converters to redeem their possessions on Monday, Thursday evening at the table, we remember that Jesus Christ went to the cross to redeem us. And one day, of course, the full implications of that great redemptive act will be revealed. Because not only will our souls be saved, but our very bodies will be redeemed. But by then, of course, we shall no longer be here on this earth. We shall be with the Redeemer in heaven. And the theme of our song will be "Unto Him who hath loved us and freed us from our sin and washed us in His blood. Unto Him be the glory forever." Amen.